that whole year after I found out what happened was just a blur. I don't remember it. I think maybe subconsciously I suppressed it because I didn't know how to deal with it, or I didn't want to accept what had happened. But she was a mess. She really just was.
So you're hearing a very quick snippet from a trailer of a film called Life with Ghosts. And this is a really interesting concept. I was very excited to get a call from the Sacred Heart University Community Theater in downtown Fairfield, the folks over there, Matt and everybody. I love chatting with them because there's so many great things happening at the community theater, including the premiere of so many different blockbuster hits, past brand new films, and even some locally made films as well, like Life with Ghosts. And as I was talking to Matt over at Shu Community Theater, he told me about a gentleman who is actually living in Fairfield and is the creator, the filmmaker, the man behind Life with Ghosts. And so I'm very excited to be connected with him right now, Stephen Berkeley. And Stephen, welcome to WICC. Thank you for sharing your creativity with the world and for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Melissa. It's great to be here.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, Stephen, I always am fascinated with how people get into the filmmaking industry. What got you started?
To tell you the truth, what got me into the film industry, well, I should say that I've been in for many years on the business side, mostly. Something happened to me involving my father's death that brought me into the filmmaking world.
Hmm. So this is something like this story, Life with Ghosts, this actually kind of stems from something you personally went through?
That's exactly right, Melissa. What happened was my father died, and my siblings and I, we all flew down to Florida to take care of my mother. My mother was in really, really bad shape, and we weren't sure what to do. We tried grief counseling, support groups, religious services, all failed, and she was sinking fast. But luckily, my mother had a neighbor named Ethel. She came over to the house and said to my mother, "Irene, we don't talk about this, but I do something with my late husband that you might want to try. I write to him every night at the same time. I tell him all about my day. I ask about his. This really helps me." And then Ethel leaned in real close to my mother and said, "And he writes back."
It's kind of haunting, right? I mean, wow. Yeah. What did she mean when she said that he writes back, Stephen Berkeley?
Well, I assumed that Ethel was schizophrenic.
Oh.
But what happened was, that's what I figured.
That's what you thought,
but
right.
I was interested in Ethel, even though my mother pretty much threw her out of the house. She did not want to hear it.
Sure,
my siblings
course.
Were wigged out.
Mm-hmm.
But I followed Ethel back over to her house, where she proceeded to show me a stack of yellow legal pads. And she said, "You see those yellow legal pads over there? Those are my conversations with my late husband over the past 12 years via automatic writing." I did not know what automatic writing was, but I was intrigued. And then I spoke to more people in my mother's community. These are people in like senior living kind of a thing.
Mm.
And it seemed like it was almost a common phenomenon amongst these people in my mother's community. A lot of people seem to be having some of these post-mortem relationships with their spouses. And I was very intrigued. I started filming my mother's journey, which was kind of a horrid thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was juxtaposing it against these other people who were in the community having much better situations. And yes, I was taking care of my mother, but I figured, hey, if I make a film about this, maybe I'll interview some experts. Maybe I'll get my mother some real help.
Mm-hmm. So, again, we have Stephen Berkeley here, who is a filmmaker. He was one of the writers. He is the director of a film called Life with Ghosts, which we'll get you the details on where you could catch it actually this weekend here in Fairfield. But right now, though, he's explaining the story of how he even fell into filmmaking and the creation of this film, Life with Ghosts. So what did you learn, Stephen, through this process?
Quite a bit. I mean, first I should say that the documentary, it follows basically one particular grief-stricken woman who volunteers to participate in an unconventional study at the University of North Texas,
mm-hmm.
where scientists decided to work with the local bereaved population in order to treat their grief symptoms. And they did this by reuniting the grieving volunteers with their deceased metaphysically. It's the first publicly funded research of its kind, and with its remarkably high success rate for both those who believe in an afterlife and for those who do not, the technique used, called induced after-death communication therapy, has been officially endorsed by the researchers as vastly superior to conventional grief counseling.
Wow. Well, because I would imagine it gives you closure. It gives you, it also gives you kind of peace of knowing, you know, that the person on the other side is okay. I think that's one thing that we struggle with as humans. I know even for myself, I'm a devout Christian, but I'd be lying if I said as a human, I don't think from time to time, you know, I hope my grandmother is okay. I hope she's in heaven. I hope that she's, you know, dancing and singing and has all of her friends. You know, I think about that ever since she passed during COVID, you know, from time to time. And certainly, again, being a Christian, I do believe that there is heaven, and I do believe that there is this perfect place. But while we live on this earth, I certainly would be lying to people if I didn't say I wonder if you could hear from them. And so this is really fascinating. Now, do you use mediums? Like, are they using mediums? How are they conducting this research?
The research, actually, what they're doing is this technique called induced after-death communication therapy,
right,
is derived from EMDR, which is a trauma therapy. So there's,
okay,
involves basically getting the sitter to a place where they're just kind of silent and just in receiving mode. It's like a very fertile state for, mm-hmm, visitation.
Wow. Okay. So they go through this type of therapy, and they're able to connect with the person on the other side?
Well, that's where it gets a little bit tricky, because the researchers, and no psychologist who administers this therapy, will actually say, you are in touch with your deceased. They, mm-hmm, won't actually say that, because that's somewhat taboo. We have to let the person who is receiving the therapy decide for themselves what it is that they're getting. But 80% of the people receiving this therapy report that they've received a visit. Either they're smelling, they're seeing, they're hearing their loved one. They feel like the loved one is in their room with them. And that is extremely healing, like nothing else is.
We are talking to a Fairfield filmmaker who actually fell into filmmaking after the death of his father. So while Stephen Berkeley was trying to help his mom grieve the loss, he stumbled upon this type of research. It's an unconventional study where scientists induce sensory reconnections between survivors and the deceased. It is the first publicly funded research of its kind. And so Stephen was just telling us sort of the story of how he got to this place and how this therapy of sorts works. Now, the only thing I'm thinking out loud, Stephen, and again, I'm sure you, over time of working on this film, have had questions about this, but as you're talking about your sensory overload, if you will, so people who are going through this therapy, this light therapy, and then it sort of is triggering this connection with the person they're missing, smells and feelings and signs, if you will, isn't that something that really comes from the subconscious, like things that we bury? So like when we're grieving the loss of someone, we're stuck in the trauma, right? I mean, I'm not a therapist or I'm not a psychoanalyst. I don't know how the brain totally works. But what I have learned as a reporter is you've got your subconscious that sort of stores all this stuff, but it's buried. And when you can free your subconscious, that's when things kind of come alive. Does that have anything to do with what you have found in the research in this process of making this film?
It does, Melissa, because there's always a question, is that just my imagination or is this something that's really happening to me? And that's a question that's been going on for centuries. There's someone named Frederick Myers back in the 1800s, the scientist, basically explained that there's something called imaginal, which is basically says, okay, our imaginations is the only interface that we have to communicate with the other side. So to some people, our subconscious is that, it's that interface. So can we figure out if it's just our ego minds or our subconscious minds, or is it like the other side communicating to us? maybe it's all one. Maybe when we sleep, that's their opportunity to kind of jump in and give us information. We're not actually sure how it works, mm-hmm. and we might not know for some time, but that's the concept.
That's really incredible. I do want to know, first of all, I am so sorry for the loss of your father and for what you and your family have been through.
I'm sorry for your loss as well.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I am curious, though, Stephen, how is your mom doing? Did she ever try this therapy?
My mom didn't try the therapy, but she got through it using something kind of interesting also, because the film is not about this particular therapy, even though the therapy is featured in the film. Mm. The film is about continuing bonds, which just means anything that you can do to continue that relationship is actually considered a healthy thing. And this is not something that I found out myself for the first time. This is something that's been around since 1995. Researchers led by a team named researcher named Dennis Klass found that people just do better. Their nervous systems just do better when they take their loved ones with them in life. And that counters the Freudian concept of just cutting and running. So this is kind of a concept that's only been around for the past couple of decades. But now we're seeing there's actually more to it than that. And I want to read something, a statistic to you. I think you're going to like this, Melissa. One researcher at the University of North Texas, she reviewed 35 studies published on active communication spanning 112 years involving 50,000 people in 24 countries. And she found that 75% of people report one or more communications from their deceased in the first year following the death. Mm. In other words, people are hearing from ghosts routinely. Does this make headline news? Of course not, because the myth that's been propagated is that the only stupid people believe in these kinds of things. So people don't like to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But it's time, because the study at the University of North Texas that is featured in my film proves that after-death communication heals chronic grief like nothing else can.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, Stephen, because I know growing up, you know, going back to I was brought up a Christian. And so it was always really hard when especially my mom, who grew up Catholic, you know, it's looked at as being, you know, like the worst thing ever. If you're trying to communicate with ghosts, it's the worst thing ever to go to a medium. I mean, that was always sort of something that was preached in church.
But, you know, just necromancy.
Right. But as I got older, I realized that, first of all, religion, one of the biggest reasons religion is broken, and you don't have to hear it from me, you can hear it from experts around the world. One of the biggest reasons is because humans have taken over so much. I mean, we have kind of crafted our own versions of religion in different ways, and people either agree with it or they don't. But the idea of still wanting to keep the memory of your person alive or looking for them. I had a very good friend of mine in college, and we were sophomores when she found out her 16-year-old brother slipped on ice driving back to school and he died. And still to this day, it's been over 10 years since Casey passed away. And there's not a day, there's not a week that goes by that Sarah doesn't talk to Casey. Sarah talks about her brother to her son. She will talk about Uncle Casey all the time. And I know that there's some people who think that's crazy, but it is a way to acknowledge that the person is gone, but also say just because they're not here physically doesn't mean they are not present.
Right.
So I do think there's
exactly.
something to what you're talking about. Even if you feel like your religion is kind of blocking you from going into that realm, I think this is fascinating. And I love that you pursued this and you took a risk and you made something beautiful. It's called Life with Ghosts, and people can actually check it out at the Sacred Heart University Community Theater in downtown Fairfield this Sunday. Stephen, my understanding is this is the first time it's going to premiere on the East Coast. It's going to be right here in Fairfield.
It is also the first time that and it's also the first time that we're showing the film outside of the film festival circuit.
Oh,
it's
wow.
been there for the last couple of years, and we're not allowed to show the film publicly while it's there. But it's won 11. If I don't mind, if I brag a little bit, Melissa.
Please, no, please.
It's won 11 awards inside the film festival circuit, including Best Documentary 3 times.
Wow.
So I'm pretty pleased with that.
that's a beautiful thing. And Stephen, what's amazing is, like you said at the top of this, you're like, I didn't know I'd be a filmmaker. I mean, this was something that piqued your interest out of something you were personally going through, and you created an amazing storyline, very, very telling. And I know I personally cannot wait to be at the premiere on Sunday. If people want more information, where can they go? Where would you direct them to learn more?
I would tell them to go to my website, which is simply lifewithghosts.com.
Okay. Lifewithghosts.com. And again, if you do want to go and check out the premiere, I will be there. There's also going to be, I believe, a panel discussion, right, Stephen, after the show?
I think it's going to be me and you.
I love that.
That's going to be it.
I love that. Well, you know, I think it's great. We can continue this conversation and open it up to the audience as well. I do want people to know you can go and get your tickets online at shoucommunitytheater.org. And again, remember, theater is R-E at the end, not E-R. shoucommunitytheater.org. And it's happening this Sunday afternoon. Stephen Berkley, I can't wait to meet you in person at the premiere this weekend. And I hope folks will come out and check out this really fascinating film, again, made by a local filmmaker right here in Fairfield. So thank you, Stephen.
You're welcome. Thank you, Melissa.
All right. And I will see you on Sunday, my friend. Stephen Berkley, who is, again, a filmmaker and the creator behind Life with Ghosts. And you can go to his website, lifewithghosts.com. And you can come and talk to Stephen and see him, see his film this Sunday in Fairfield at the Shoe Community Theater. And we will be there. I'll be there hosting it from WICC on Sunday afternoon. Hope to see you there.